それが僕の本音なんだろうな。荒い呼吸のビートで進む意地っ張り弱虫ごめんね。笑ってもこらえても暮らしに歌を心に花をあなたに歌を静かな愛を
so many men would have loved you more. Soon everybody will ask what became of you. Your heart was dying fast and you didn't know what
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, welcome, welcome, one and all. It is 1905 UTC on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon here in Austin, Texas. It's 36 degrees right now, high of 39. It might get hotter than that. Definitely humidity is very high in the up in the 80%. And it's expected to keep on getting warmer. We're supposed to get hotter the next couple days. So, oh boy, it is warm. On the bright side, air quality is better than it was last week, 100%, or at least probably like 80% better. I can see the flags in the distance, and I can tell what they are. The trees aren't all gray, so and on the bright side, even though the trees are kind of like making the sad face for it being so hot, they are green, so we haven't evaporated all the liquid out of them yet. Shout out to Calm and everybody in Calm. Including UserFXNet and Claudio M, Ratsu, LCD, Koyo. Koyo had an interesting little story there. UserFXNet, Koyo, Tobe in the house, Resner, and everybody's here. So welcome, welcome, X1, Ratsu, all the people, Jazzmas, always listening. If the internet allows it. I found, for those of you who may be listening now and have had listening problems, I found if I connect to a VPN in a different state, or if I use a VPS and forward traffic that way, it seems to work just fine. It's a routing problem, which is funny because this is like a 90s and 80s thing to have a problem with. Yeah, we there's a bad route to SDF that affects a lot of people in the Midwest or in the middle of the country for some reason. Central Daylight Time, people. If you're having trouble, try using a VPN or a VPS that's not in Central Time Zone. It is very hot. And I would mention, just because we were talking about sleeping under desks, at the office here, I used to do that a bit more frequently than I do now. But used to, when I have programming projects, I would start working on them. I would just work on them and work on them until I was, like, ready to collapse. I was as fast asleep. Sometimes that's 2 or 3 in the morning. And you know what? Sleeping under your desk is a wonderful feeling when you're sleepy. Like, I'll be at work and I'll just be like, ugh, I don't want to drive home. And then it's like, all right, well, I'll just sleep under my desk. And it's like, oh, this is wonderful. Best sleep you'll ever get. Hey, Jay Lamoth, welcome. Cool, an LCD can confirm VPN to avoid drops. All right, so we're here to talk about news. We've got a lot of news that we can use. I'm just checking. Okay, cool. Sorry. What I'm doing here is, one of my friends, my good friend Mahoney and his wife Lindsay, they're in Long Beach, California. Just like the Long Beach Dub All-Stars. She's been going to have the baby since Sunday. So we're on baby watch right now. So I'm waiting. If I get a phone call in the middle of the show, I may have to drop off because it will be a video call with a new baby. And that trumps almost everything as far as, like, if you get a phone call from a new person that's freshly minted, you have to take it. I don't make the rules there. But anyway, the chances are low, but I just wanted to give you the heads up on that. And all right. So I'm going to go ahead here and pull up the news. We first got to make sure that our Firefox is sunk. So we go over to settings and sync. Sync now. I hope everybody had a good Juneteenth and had a good Father's Day. Yesterday was a weird time for old Marcus, so today I'm doing a lot better. I think it's because I got something to look forward to. All right, so we go over here to bookmarks, desktop bookmarks, bookmarks menu, news to me, June 20th. That's us. All right, let's talk about some death and destruction, also known as world news. First, from Singapore, 2 Singaporeans die after canoes capsize in a South African river. 2 Singaporeans died in South Africa on Sunday afternoon in a river canoe expedition gone wrong. The victims, a man and a woman, were part of a group of 20 Singaporeans who were canoeing in the Crocodile River, accompanied by 6 local guides, when their canoes capsized. Their ages and identities are not yet confirmed. South Africa media outlets reported that the group had set off from a camp near the Lion and Safari Park in Broederstroom, an hour's car ride from Johannesburg. In a statement, the National Sea Rescue Institute said its team at Hart B. Sport Dam, the Strategic Response Unit Rescue Unit, and the South African Police Service responded to the incident around 2:40 p.m. The NSRI rescues those experiencing distress in coastal and inland waters. The spokesman said that the incident took place between the Lion and Safari Park and Hart B. Sport Dam, adding that rescue swimmers and medics were deployed on site. So it's unfortunate they didn't make it, but it does look like they had adequate and a good, efficient kind of rescue team coming to try and save them, which is what you want. Let's see what's going on here. Ooh, D's. The good old-fashioned arrow keys. I'm not a vampire. I'm a driving instructor for Johannesburg. Tobe's always good for a laugh. Alright, continuing on, more death. 4 Israelis have been killed in a shooting attack near a settlement in the occupied West Bank. 4 others were wounded, one of them seriously, when 2 Palestinian gunmen opened fire at a restaurant and petrol station on the highway outside Eli.
Israel's military said the assailants were Hamas-affiliated terrorists. One was shot dead at the scene by an armed civilian, while the second fled in a stolen car and was later killed by Israeli forces in the town of Tubas. Israel's prime minister said all options are open in response to what he called the shocking and abhorrent terrorist attack, which followed their abhorrent and shocking terrorist attack the previous day. I only say it that way because both sides see each other as terrorists. One side just happens to have a whole lot of U.S.-supplied arms. Israeli Defense Force spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari said in a statement that the two gunmen arrived in a car from the village of Uruf, about 10 kilometers to the north. They opened fire at a roadside hummus restaurant, first killing three civilians, then shot dead another civilian in the forecourt of a petrol station. One of the gunmen was shot and killed by an armed civilian, but the other was able to flee. And really, that's all there is to it. It's just a retaliatory killing from the killings that happened on Monday. So there's not a whole lot to pull out of that. There's not a lot of meaning to pull out of it, I guess. Here's something, though, and I think this is something that's very important, and it's not something that we've had to regulate in a while. So I want to bring it up. And this is lithium-ion batteries, and specifically cheap lithium-ion batteries. But first, the news. Four dead after battery causes fire at New York City e-bike shop that spread to apartments. A fire at a New York City e-bike shop quickly spread to upper floor apartments and killed four people early Tuesday in the latest deadly blaze linked to exploding lithium-ion batteries. The fire, reported shortly after midnight, happened at a shop that was cited last summer for safety violations related to the storage and charging of batteries. Investigators determined that it was an accident caused by a lithium-ion battery which can overheat while being charged and explode in an intensely hot flare of flame. A pile of burned bikes, scooters, and other debris lay on the sidewalk outside the shop. HQ e-bike repair, which was on the ground floor of a six-story building in Manhattan's Chinatown neighborhood. So far this year, there have been more than 100 fires and 13 deaths linked to battery explosions in the city. So, anyway, I just wanted to remind everyone to please properly store your lithium-ion batteries. Don't just leave them plugged into charge forever when you're gone away from home and all of that. And even the little ones, even your little batteries, with the right little oomph, maybe a little surge in your power grid, can turn into nice little firebombs. So be careful out there. It's one of those things that I'm imagining regulation should come down, but I don't know. I don't think that, I think people would rather risk it than pay more money. Anyway, speaking of things that aren't really going to change, the last four Roman Catholic archbishops of New Orleans went to shocking lengths to conceal a confessed serial child molester who is still living but has never been prosecuted. A Guardian investigation has found. A person driving a minivan didn't think a stop sign applied to them. Oncoming traffic disagreed, and that was what you heard with the honking. If you heard that. Upon review of hundreds of pages of previously secret church files, The Guardian has uncovered arguably the most complete account yet about the extremes to which the second oldest Catholic archdiocese in the U.S. went to coddle the admitted child molester, Lawrence Hecker. Back in 1999, Hecker confessed to his superiors at the Archdiocese of New Orleans that he had either sexually molested or otherwise shared a bed with multiple teenagers whom he met through his work as a Roman Catholic priest. The admitted conduct occurred during a 15-year period, beginning in the mid-60s, which Hecker says was a time of great change in the world and in the church, and I succumbed to its zeitgeist. It was the summer of love, man. I was just like, hey, you're old enough? Gross. In a two-page statement given to local church authorities serving a region of about 500,000 Catholics, Hecker says, it was a time when I neglected spiritual direction, confession, and most daily prayer. Hecker's confession said the late New Orleans Archbishop Philip Hannon spoke with him about an accusation of sexual abuse in 1988. In 1996, his successor and Archbishop, the late Francis Schulte, received another allegation, which the organization deemed unsubstantiated. Law enforcement authorities have never charged Hecker with a crime, even though his number of accusers has only swelled with the passage of time. Despite transparency policies that the Catholic Church generally adopted after the 2002 scandal in Boston, New Orleans Archdiocese waited until it released a 2018 list of dozens of priests and deacons whom it considered to be strongly suspected of abusing minors before it publicly acknowledged that Hecker was a predator. Notably, the Archdiocese only stopped paying Hecker retirement benefits in 2020, citing a moral obligation it had to all clerics. The Archdiocese waited until after it filed for federal bankruptcy protection that year to stop paying the benefits. And that was because the judge overseeing the bankruptcy ordered it. So, whew, boy, it is warm out here. It's not as warm as those guys are going to be if hell is real and they're going to and they go there, I guess. You know what's funny is I learned not too long ago that hell used to be considered a cold place as opposed to a hot place. And you know, I don't know if it was just cold all the time, that would be less, it would be demoralizing, sure, but I kind of would prefer it, I think. Anyway, let's see what we got here. Hey, Ellen Teal. Welcome. Yeah, gross. Tobe has special ammo for priests. A knife on a stick. Knife on a stick day was officially yesterday, I'd say. But if you have anything that's not close enough for you to reach by your arm, but it is a little bit further away, and you might need to cut it, into two pieces or poke a hole in it, knife on a stick. Tune in to the Dubious Goals Committee at 1930 UTC to find out more about knife on stick. It is logo free and it is not a golf ball. Do not hit with a stick. But yeah, check it out every goddamn day at 1930 UTC. Alrighty, well, let's keep on a rolling. Now it's time to talk about power and electricity and energy and all of that. Actually, I got one more thing I got to tell you about. It might be a little more disturbing. It's about monkey torture. If I had an echo or something, I would play it. A year-long BBC investigation has uncovered a sadistic global monkey torture ring stretching from Indonesia to the United States. The World Service found hundreds of customers in the US, UK, and elsewhere paying Indonesians to torture and kill baby long-tailed macaws on film. The torture ring began life on YouTube before moving to private groups on Telegram. Police are now pursuing the buyers and several arrests have already been made. BBC journalists went undercover in one of the main Telegram torture groups, where hundreds of people gathered to come up with extreme torture ideas and commission people in Indonesia and other Asian countries to carry them out. The sadists' goal was to create bespoke films in which baby long-tailed macaw monkeys were abused, tortured, and sometimes killed on film. The BBC tracked down both the torturers and distributors and buyers in the U.S. and gained access to an international law enforcement effort to bring them to justice. Wow, this is just so terrible. Let's see. The ringleader was known as Mr. Ape, whose real name cannot be revealed for safety reasons. Mr. Ape confessed in an interview with the BBC that he had been responsible for the deaths of at least four monkeys and the torture of many more. He commissioned extremely brutal videos. Story's phone was seized by the Department of Homeland Security agents. One of the buyers was seized and found nearly 100 torture videos, as well as evidence that she had paid for the creation of some of the most extreme videos produced. According to police sources, she was active in a torture group as recently as earlier this month. Approached by the BBC in Alabama in January, they claimed that they'd been hacked and declined to comment on allegations in detail. So, it's just so funny that anytime anybody is involved in one of these, like, crazy, like, death rings or, like, child porn rings or like, this kind of thing, they always say, oh, my phone was hacked, my house was hacked, there's no way I didn't do this. Somebody else did this. And it always sounds so ridiculous, like, and it's, anyway, it's just, it's really bad. So anyway, hopefully that industry is not very large and that kind of ends it. Oh, man. All right. Well, we got 8 minutes to go. Let's talk about technology and stuff for a minute to get that, all that gross stuff out of our veins. OpenBSD, you may have heard of it. OpenBSD, NetBSD, FreeBSD, they're all part of a big happy family. Well, shutdown and reboot in OpenBSD now requires group membership of a special underscore shutdown group. Theo Durant, or D-E-R-A-A-D-T, is their online handle, committed changes which result in the shutdown and reboot commands in current requiring membership of the new group underscore shutdown. The rationale is that, here, if I can get it to go sideways, I can read it to you. Here we go. Right, here we go. The group operator, if you're familiar with these guys, yeah, you'll know. The operator group gatekeeps a few super user abilities, dumping disks, manipulating tape drives. This group is also used with group access, but on the set UID root shutdown command, some people use this to shut down reboot their machines. Use of that group is giving them disk read access also, which is wrong. It would be a pain to re-group ID all the device nodes, so instead let's renumber the operator execution group ID into group underscore shutdown. Users using the shutdown reboot functionality will notice it no longer works and move themselves to the correct group. Various choices discussed at large, this seems like our best choice. So I thought that was kind of neat. I think that's an interesting idea and a good way to segment out the permissions. So anyway, wanted to let you know about that. Let's see what's going on in comm. My brightness is going down because it's so hot outside. Claudio M. Run BSD. They hacked my computer and put a meticulously organized folder of incriminating videos on my hard drive. Jay Lamoth cracking jokes. Entertainment is great, but it still fixes nothing. Yeah. Claudio M. Who knows? You may need to be part of the underscore shutdown group if you want to run shutdown. So, yeah. All right. Cool. So, we go through that. So, let's talk technology some more. Indonesia's Satria 1 deploys solar panels ahead of a geostationary trip. That's right. Indonesia's Satria 1 broadband satellite deployed its solar panels after launching on a SpaceX Falcon 9 to geosynchronous transfer orbit over the weekend, manufacturer Thales Alenia Space. It will take about 5 months for Indonesia's very first high-throughput VHTS satellite to reach its 146 degrees east orbital slot via onboard electric propulsion, according to the spokesperson. Once it reaches geostationary orbit, slot late this year, Thales Alenia Space will need to conduct about 3 weeks of tests before Nusantara 3 can enter commercial service. This is a $545 million satellite, and it's slated to begin providing around 150 gigabytes per second of capacity across the thousands of islands in the Indonesian archipelago, I never know how to say it, and surrounding areas by early 2024. So, pretty cool. Indonesia getting some internet access hooked up. And it's satellite. That's so cool. It's neat that satellite is so fast these days. Two Singaporeans die. Oh, this is my history. I was like, what happened? Publius, and I didn't see him in comm, but he will be excited about this news if he hears it. China is attracting moon-based partners, outlines project timelines. China says a number of countries have committed to join its International Lunar Research Station Moonbase Initiative. Russia, Pakistan, the UAE, and the Asia-Pacific Space Cooperation Organization, APSCO, have signed agreements to engage in the ILRS, with more than 10 further countries and organizations currently negotiating agreements. Malaysia is one of the countries discussing terms of the project, according to Kuala Lumpur-based China Press. Venezuela has also spoken positively to an invitation to join the ILRS. The project aims to construct a permanent lunar base in the 2030s with a series of stepping stone missions before the end of this decade. China announced in April that it was establishing the International Lunar Research Station Cooperation Organization to coordinate and manage the project. According to a recent presentation by the Deep Space Exploration Laboratory under the China National Space Administration, China aims to complete the signing of agreements and memorandums of understanding with space agencies and organizations for founding members by October this year. First, signatories will enjoy more favorable terms and more rights as founding members. The organization's headquarters will be located in the Deep Space Science City in Hefei in Anhui Province. China aims to define the task sharing and sign and approve intergovernmental agreements among founding countries before the end of 2024. So, as with the United States Artemis program, the devil is in the detail of the agreements between China and smaller partners or participants, an associate professor at the University of Leicester told Space News. The base itself is conducted in the 30s. Sorry, it's just gonna, it's a long article, and I don't want to lose time on it. But China's building a space station on the moon, or building a base on the moon. U.S. has not announced plans. So, hey, United States, get up to speed. Either get on board with the Chinese and help build this space station, this moon base, or build your own. But get something on there, because all we got is a failing or soon to crash space station on our hands right now. Let's see. Oh, here we go. Another thing, Korean and Danish companies have teamed up on LEU fuel. The KEPCO Nuclear Fuel and GS Engineering and Construction, together with Denmark Seaborg Technologies, are to investigate the feasibility of developing a low-enriched uranium fuel salt production facility in South Korea. Seaborg is developing compact molten salt reactor technology, famously for boats. They're going to try and make it so that you can have a, one, have a container ship that's nuclear powered, and then two, have a container ship that is just a power, is just a giant battery, kind of like what we talked about Russia doing. Oh man, I am so hot. Oh, Tobe pointing out moon base, Dragon Phoenix Pearl. Wikipedia, 36-bit computing. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, and don't forget, SDF had its birthday this past weekend. I talked about it yesterday, along with Juneteenth, but I was a little monotone. Oh, I'm sweating my face off out here. It is quite warm. So, bye.